Harmony Divination. Today is Wednesday, November 12th, 2008. My name is Elizabeth Peter. Hope you're all hanging in there in spite of the stormy economic mess raging in our world. It is more vital now than ever to stay still and focused on the now, not unlike in a storm or a hurricane. Today is the last day of the fifth night of the galactic age on the Mayan calendar, and boy, do I feel it. I hope you're feeling it too. Let's start with a wonderful quote by Terence McKenna. We are on the brink of making the quantum leap to the conquest of another dimension by obliterating our fixity in time. And then we will migrate into the future, each into our own future. And then human history is looked back on as a nightmare awakened from a brutal but necessary interval to being happily kissed goodbye. Friends, as we are getting ready to enter the age of intuition on our universal age by the year 2011, the only simple way to be is to be. At this time, just simply think less, use the mind less, and do say create everything with the qualifier ethics, and use your intuition most of all. That's your guiding compass. This is an exciting time to be alive indeed. First off, the outline of what you can expect from this show. My mission statement remains simple. Let us focus on sharing joy, oneness, abundance, gratitude, and self-awareness at all times. Let's be ethical and use our intuition. I do a short abundance intent at the beginning of the show, so let's go at it. Abundance intent, I focus on the holy high self within as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action within as without. And so it is. Today, as always, I would like to encourage you to call into the show. I invite your questions, concerns, comments. You can find out more about me by visiting my website, redlotus.org, and email me at elizabeth@redlotus.org. Dear friends, we'll have a packed show again, and I have the great honor and good fortune to reach a wonderful expert, economic expert, in the last minute, John Hofel. He agreed to come on the show today. He has been the senior banking columnist of the Executive Intelligence Review since 1989. For the previous 6 years, he worked out of the EIR's Houston Bureau, where he wrote a major expose of dirty money, the dirty money side of the Bush family operations, including James Baker III. Mr. Hofel's 1993 expose of the $12 trillion off-balance sheet liabilities of the U.S. banks was startling, so startling that Representative Gonzalez invited Hofel to testify before the House Banking Committee on September 8, 1993, on the secret financial accords of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. In 96, Mr. Hofel authored an in-depth financial profile of the names groupings tied to Lloyd's of London and their involvement in the United States, the accuracy of which amazed even Lloyd's lawyers. In September 97, Mr. Hofel published a devastating picture of how legalized gambling has subverted the U.S. economy. More broadly, he has followed in detail the hyperinflation of the derivatives markets over the last 5 years and given many public lectures on this subject. So we can see Mr. Hofel kind of knows what's really going on in our economy. Welcome to Earth Harmony, John.
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. My pleasure.
Thank you so much for taking this call at such a last minute. John, there is a financial chaos spreading around the globe. On your weekly report with Jeff Steinberg on www.larouchepac.com, you discuss these events in great detail, almost daily, almost weekly. John, can you give us a short description of what is really going on with the global economic crisis?
Yeah, right now we're watching the global financial system disintegrate, that the events which began to surface early last year under in what was called the subprime crisis was actually a banking crisis. in which the, you know, we've operated as an economy below break-even for about 40 years. We've watched the productive end of our economy being taken down and being replaced by services, and especially financial services increasingly. And so since we don't produce things like we used to anymore, we don't produce the wealth we used to, and therefore we've been going deeper into debt to make up the difference. And so the problem we have is that we've now incurred such an enormous mountain of debt, and it's a debt that we don't have the ability to pay off.
Yeah.
And that's the major problem that we face right now.
Well, you on your show, you talk about how the Europeans and the Asians are what you call flight capital is spreading in those countries. What is flight capital?
Well, flight capital is money that people try to move out of the country where they think it will be safer.
I see.
And a lot of times that money is money that they need to move out because it was illegally obtained. And so they don't want the local authorities to find it, so they move it out to these offshore banking havens where nobody can, you know, where their governments can't find it.
So, you know, there's a lot of people who are saying that this fiat currency system has never been really legitimate in the United States. You yourself agree to that. In fact, if I may quote from Frank Chodorov, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He says, the Americans, our forefathers, however, insisted that in the nature of things, all rights inhere in the individual by virtue of his existence, and that he instituted government for the sole purpose of preventing one citizen from violating the rights of another. Sovereign power, they said, resides in the individual. The government is only an agency of his will. If it fails to carry out its duties properly, or if it itself presumes to invade his rights, then the moral thing to do is to kick it out. And this is what we're seeing, is that our citizens are faced with that job itself, because this is actually what our Constitution requires of us to do. Would you agree?
Yeah, that the government, the inalienable rights, as the, you know, the Declaration of Independence puts it, the inalienable rights of man, and no government has the right to abrogate those inalienable rights.
Because basically they created this monetary system to enslave the world, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That the monetary system that we have now is the power behind it is what we call the Anglo-Dutch liberal system, which is it's an empire. It's an international parasitic empire. And the center of it, the political center of it, is in Britain, in the city of London. And, you know, this is a system which is historically used slave labor, which has subjugated countries and extracted their raw materials and leaving the population poor. No, so it's a looting operation, and that's what has collapsed. Because, you know, cannibalism is not a long-term strategy. You can only, once you start eating people, you can only eat so many before you,
yes,
you know, you have a collapse.
It's like a cancer, you know, if you don't have any healthy cells left, then what happens? Now, Lyndon LaRouche, whose organization you closely work with, he talks about the present world's monetary system is now hopelessly bankrupt. So how do you see this? When will they actually admit to the fact that they're bankrupt?
Well, they've done everything they can do to try to deny it. And yet, if you look at one of the markers for the fact that this is spinning out of control is this ongoing bailout process.
Yeah.
In which they started last year with a small amount of money. And said, then every, you know, they said, this will solve the problem. This is a minor problem. We'll get through it. And now, you know, the U.S. government is now openly talking about bailing out almost everything. And because the problem is that you had this enormous mass of financial speculation. As you, we took the debt that we were creating in our economy to, as a substitute for producing wealth, we incurred debt. Then the speculators started taking this debt and treating it as if it were an asset, and then speculating on the assets and telling that the income they got off of the speculation of these fictitious assets as profits. And so we had this long boom, which we were told was a good thing, which showed our economy was fundamentally sound. And in fact, it was a disaster. And so you had this development, especially the derivatives market, which gets up into the quadrillions of dollars. And this whole thing has now died.
Yes, I read that article by you about the quadrillions. Now, a lot of people are speculating out there that this was pre-planned by the powers, kind of like the 1929 crisis. I don't see it that way. I think this is basically the system they created, and it's like the Titanic. It just went belly up. Don't you agree with that?
I think that there are layers to this, that at the top you have some very nasty people who run this empire, who have been opposed to the concept of the nation state ever since it was founded, especially the United States, mm-hmm. that they have never forgiven the United States for breaking away,
right.
and have been determined to take the world back to the way it was before that happened, because what they really fear is that increased populations among black people in Africa, populations among the brown people, populations among the more yellow-skinned people, that these populations will grow to the point where politically they become as powerful as these, you know, these lily-white oligarchs who live in Northern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And that will change the world power structure, which it will. And their way of dealing with that is basically to have population reduction in all these places, is to kill off all their potential adversaries. So you set up a situation where you can't beat the United States from outside, so you try to subvert it from inside with this financial, insert these financial parasites.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one level of it, that there's a deliberate attempt to induce the United States to destroy itself
mm-hmm.
by the creation of
the
giant
level?
Bubble.
So there's several levels, but then, you know, there's also this consciousness rising in humans that could, override that,
mm-hmm.
I believe, or transcend it.
Well, there's another level of people who rose to great power with this bubble and who are now being faced with the prospect of watching that power evaporate. And they're the ones that are pushing very hard for all of these bailouts. They want to deny reality.
These are the Soros guys?
Yeah, the Soros guys and all the people who run a lot of these big banks.
Mm-hmm. Because, I've been watching of course everybody was watching the election, who is behind Obama, who is behind the other guy. And, of course, my feeling was that Soros was definitely financing the Obama campaign. Would you agree with that?
Yes, he was.
So these guys' agenda is the New World Order, that
yes.
they want to go against the oligarchy to create some sort of a socialist one-world government in which they call the shots.
Well, they're not. George Soros works for these international financiers. And so what he's trying to do is he's one of the agents that's used to subvert the United States from within. George Soros, the hedge fund manager. Another one is the famous banker Felix Rohatyn. And they work for these oligarchic interests to subvert the United States. And so they take money. They take a lot of this flight capital and hot money and other things and spread it around to buy people off and to build an opposition. So that's one level. And then you have the bankers and things who really, a lot of these people really did believe that this bubble, this whole financial method that they used was real.
Yeah.
And
the Mayan researchers, for example, Jose Arguelles in his book, The Techno, Techno, Technosystem. I can't remember the title of the book now, but he calls the fall of the towers of 9/11 the one significant event, almost like a symbolic event that precedes this fall of the money system. Just like that whole scenario was pre-planned and collapsed very, very, very quickly and disappeared very quickly. We might see that as a symbol of how this whole money system that was actually, it took hundreds and hundreds of years to build, could collapse in a matter of minutes. It's actually happening in front of our eyes. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think, I mean, I look at it slightly differently, but that the attack, the 9/11 attack was an inside job by people plugged into the Western security apparatus, and that was funded. The Saudis were very much involved in this. This was a joint Saudi-British-American operation by certain circles inside the United States who had access into the U.S. security network, because, you know, we were holding a drill that very day, and we had a lot of our security systems turned off or were diverted under the idea that this was a drill. So there's an inside job element to this, because this is, and I think that politically, if you look at this, it's the financial system was collapsing. And the people on the inside knew this. And the purpose of 9/11, because their intent is to impose austerity on the population. And so the purpose of 9/11 was to begin the implementation of police state measures in order to crack down on the people,
which
on behalf of the
financial
interests.
I don't think it really worked out in the end. Would you agree?
I'm sorry. I
don't think it worked out. Do you agree?
They didn't get it. We've gone a long way in that direction, mm-hmm. but they didn't get their police state.
Now, I heard on NPR recently that they were hinting some very strange things like, oh, this is a perfect time for the terrorists again to make an attack on the United States while we have a president-elect coming into office, etc. It's as if they're hinting that they're going to do another security, test, terrorist attack test. I'm thinking this smells like a false flag attack again. Would you look at it that way?
I agree. I think it's something that we should take very, very seriously.
Do you talk about this in your circles, how that could be a possibility, or do you have sources in which you can confirm things like this?
Yes, we do. And a lot of the people that we talk to are also very concerned about this. I mean, I think there's also the possibility that one of the ways that would really destroy the country is the assassination of President-elect Obama, which would trigger, you know, race riots and all sorts of other things. And so if you're someone whose goal is to destabilize the United States, and we know who those people are, we know why they want to do it, then, you know, that's the sort of thing you should look at.
But, you know, that could be, again, just a plan that could backfire on them.
It could, and that's one of the reasons why we've talked about this publicly, is because you want, typically when you have one of these assassinations or terrorist events or something like that, that is almost immediately the person who did it is identified. And that's part of the way you run such an operation.
Mm-hmm.
So that you never...
Expose it immediately.
Yeah, like you have, for example, the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
We knew immediately that it was Lee Harvey Oswald that did it. Whether Lee Harvey Oswald did it or not, we knew immediately that he did it because we were told he did it.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you quit looking for who might have really done it, mm-hmm. and you look at who they said they did it. It's a way of heading off any investigation.
Yeah.
And that is a repeated pattern every time. You know, as soon as 9/11 occurred, well, we knew immediately that it was Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
You know, immediately. As soon as they announced the event, practically, they're telling you who did it. No investigation. And that's always a sign. Uh-huh. That's always a sign of a cover-up.
And now there's this joking going on in the neocon circles, how Obama's name rhymes with Osama's name and how they keep on mispronouncing it almost as if it was catching Obama or catching Osama. Have you heard these little things going around?
Yeah. It's on the one hand, it's
was
really...
Was this intentional, do you think, that they even selected Obama because of his name? I mean, it's bizarre to me.
I don't think they selected him because of his name. But I think that, you know, you have this... This is sort of the legacy of Lee Atwater and Karl Rove and people like that who practice very dirty politics, very juvenile, divisive politics where they try to scare the population because they know that if you get people scared, then people will give up. They'll quit thinking. Their minds will shut down some and they'll give up liberties and you can manipulate them as long as you keep them scared enough. And if you look at, for example, the whole operation of Dick Cheney has been to terrify people into going along with what he wanted done. And he just lied like crazy. But he got away with a lot of it.
Do you believe that we will have the power to really go forward with impeachment on these people?
I don't know that we will. The power will be there. I don't know whether there would be the will. I mean, I don't think there'll be an impeachment of Cheney. I think that at this late date, unless he got caught doing something really bad, that we'll just wait until he's out of office, and then the question is whether or not there'll be investigations and perhaps prosecutions. But I think that he's certainly done a lot that he would have to answer to in a court of law.
Exactly. Now, going back to the banks, banks are hoarding cash right now and not lending out. And there's lots of quotes here from your website. What happens when they're just hoarding money and they don't lend it out and there's nothing happening? I mean, isn't this like the most ridiculous situation?
It is. It is. And the banks are not simply hoarding the money because they don't want to lend it. This is an indication of how thoroughly bankrupt they are because their losses are far greater than anything they've admitted so far. And this whole bailout operation, pumping money into the banks and all the Federal Reserve loans, all these various things that are being done are all designed to plug giant holes in the banking system. And, each bank knows that it's lying about its financial condition. So you see things like the banks aren't lending even to each other. Well, if I'm a bank and I know that I'm lying about my financial condition and I'm really bankrupt, and I know that the next guy over can't really be any better than that, I'm not going to lend him money.
Right.
It's just the system itself is breaking down.
Well, again, dear listeners, if you're just checking into the show, I'm talking with John Hofel, and he is with the Executive Intelligence Review. You can visit the websites and blogs on which his articles and blogs appear, especially with the LaRouchePAC.com website, on which there is a tremendous amount of information and videos almost daily. You have these weekly reports with Jeff Steinberg. What is the goal or intention of the LaRouche PAC movement? What would you like to see happen?
Well, what we want to see is for the United States to return to the ideas expressed in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And that is both political, it's political, it's cultural, And it's moral, and it's also economic. And on the economic front, which is the part that I specialize in, what we want to see is a return to this idea of production, the idea that the way you improve the condition of mankind is to increase the productive powers of human labor using the creative potentials of the mind, and that each person is, that the people are the real assets in any society. It's the minds of the population that are the real assets. And so therefore, you need to do all the things that you can do to develop the human mind. You have to give them, you know, education. You have to give them culture. You have to make sure that people have plenty of food and things like that. So that, and then as you do this and as you educate your population, then you will produce in that population. You know, you'll start seeing geniuses appear, and then these geniuses then start making these breakthroughs, which then uplift the whole of society.
Well, talking about geniuses, you know, I just interviewed this 93-year-old wonderful genius futurist, Jacques Fresco, who's been working all his life on these incredible designs for our future. And he devised a social plan for our resource-based economy. I don't know if you've seen the Zeitgeist information and the Venus Project information. Are you familiar with that at all?
Is that the same as the Zeitgeist, the movie, or is that
Yeah, correct, and he was featured in the second movie towards the end. You know, his view is that we have enough abundance in our world, on our planet right now, that we can implement a resource-based economy without the money system.
Well, I think that I think that that's, I mean, without knowing exactly what the guy is saying, I would say that yes, that we have sufficient resources. The question is, do we have the right technologies to use them? You know, we have to just develop the ways to unlock them, and that the role of a monetary system or the role of a credit system, more properly, in an economy is that it's used to support real physical economic activity. It's not the ruler. It's something which is a tool to help facilitate life and economic activity. And that where we have gone wrong is that these people who believe that money is everything and that you could control the world through the manipulation of money really don't have any understanding of what real economy is.
Well, the key to his system is free energy, and we know now that we can have access to free energy for transportation, for any purposes. He talks about the hydrothermic technology and you know, the free solar, wind, etc. These are energy sources that are almost inexhaustible.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that system feels like it could be very well maybe combined with what you're proposing, a Hamiltonian credit system, which I was interested to find out more. How would you describe that?
Well, the Hamiltonian refers to Alexander Hamilton, who was the first Treasury Secretary of the United States, who wrote a series of reports on how to organize an economy. And the idea is that what makes an economy strong is to have infrastructure projects, to have water projects and power projects and transportation projects and things which make it easier for man to operate. So you improve the efficiency of the world that man lives in, that if you want to have transportation grids, you know, you can have roads, you can have water transportation grids. But if you look at the development of the United States, you started out with the whole series of development projects from mostly canals, water-based projects. You know, one of the things that helped us become a great industrial power was the fact that we had this enormous inland waterway system through the Mississippi and the Ohio and Missouri. Mm-hmm. And so you use technology to build up your capability. Mm-hmm. So then we went to trains, and once you had the first steam engine trains and laid the railroad track that so you could travel from, say, Chicago to New York in a day, then you opened up, for example, you extended the cold chain where you could put fresh meat in a refrigerated car in Chicago and ship it to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helped to bring the country together, and it raised the standard of living, mm-hmm, of all people. And it's these kinds of economic projects. And then they provide sort of the infrastructure for society. And then you have the scientific breakthroughs which develop, you know, new kinds of power so that you can go from burning wood to burning coal to burning coke to burning oil. And then, you know, I think the, you can go then from there, you can go into, nuclear fission as a transition stage into nuclear fusion, which is a very clean and safe technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and that uses the atom as the power source, and so we have an unlimited power source, and it doesn't pollute. So I think we have all the resources we need if we just develop the technology necessary to unlock them, and that's mainly a question of education.
Well, that's what he advocates. He's very much into, you know, high technology really began with the power systems 250 years ago, but they got so greedy that they actually prevented from a lot of these great technologies, especially the free technologies, to evolve. I guess we have a caller. Hello?
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, I can't hear you very well. Can you speak up?
Hi, Elizabeth. It's Karen.
Oh, hi, Karen. How are you?
Real good.
Thanks for calling in. Do you have a question?
Well, I was going to ask about the economy.
Okay.
And see if you've covered that yet.
Yeah, we're talking to a wonderful guest, John Hoffel, who is a great expert on the economy. I don't know if you had the chance to listen in yet.
I'm on the dial-up system, so I
can't
hear.
What is it that really interests you the most?
I guess the existence of the stock market.
Okay. We can address that. John, how would you answer her question?
Well, you know, the purpose of the stock market was originally as a way to, if a company has a good idea and wants to raise money, that you can have a stock market where people can buy stock in this company and participate. Now, that's not a bad idea, but it has to be, these things have to be controlled. And over time, you get, you know, it's become something that people really, you know, they can invest in, but they can also speculate in it. Most investment these days has really become speculation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think this, in terms of an economic, if you look at the question of stocks, when you buy a stock now, generally the money doesn't go to the company. It goes to somebody else who owns the stock. So people are buying and selling and a lot of speculation. But the stock market itself is just a small part of the economy. Now, if the question is on the ups and downs of things like the Dow Jones Industrial Average and what's happening with the stock market, you know, to that I would say, I pretty much ignore the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I don't think it really means anything. Because it's only 30 stocks. And it's very easy to manipulate, and it's manipulated all the time. That you can see that when it starts to fall quite often, you can tell that the Federal Reserve comes in because suddenly it will shoot way up. And, you know, so as an economic indicator, it's very poor. And the reason why the stock market keeps going down now is because this is a reflection of this global financial crisis in which people who have got money tied up in all of these increasingly worthless securities are doing everything they can do to sell them. And as they decline, they're hit with margin calls, which is that if they borrowed money against these stocks or if they pledged them as collateral, then they need to put in more money. And since everybody's living on borrowed money, then they have to start selling things that they own in order to raise the money to meet these margin calls and to pay their loans. And that causes further selling, and we're sort of in a vicious cycle right now of the more the assets fall, the more selling has to occur in order to meet all the settlement calls. And the whole thing, it just keeps going down. Every once in a while, they'll pump in a bunch of money and knock it up a bit. But otherwise, the selling pressure is just relentless. And I think
you mean the Feds are pumping money in there?
Yes.
The Federal Reserve?
The Federal Reserve, yes.
So it basically just keeps on printing more money, pumps it in there, which then devalues the dollar.
Yes. But the only thing keeping this economy going right now is the enormous amount of money that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury are pumping into the economy. And that is incredible. That is hyperinflationary. And what I really fear is that we're going to have a hyperinflationary explosion where the value of the dollar itself is just going to vaporize. That's the worst thing we could have, because that wipes out everything.
How long before that could happen, John?
I think it could happen within weeks. I think, you know, very good chance it'll happen by the end of the year.
Karen, do you have a more personal question, like what can someone do who has stocks and constantly sees the stock value go up and down? Is that what you wanted to address?
Yeah, I think that's probably what everyone would want to know.
Well, do you think we have a clear answer to that, John? I don't know. It's hard to answer something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the business of giving investment advice.
Right.
So nothing I say should be taken as investment advice. But in terms of what I think is happening in the economy and where this thing is going, I think it's just going to continue to go down.
Right.
And that people should get out. I absolutely do not believe this idea that if we're just in a bit of a down cycle and if we hold on, everything will come back. I know that that's what we're being told. We're being told that all the time. But as it ratchets further and further down every step, then they tell us, don't worry, it's going to come back.
Well, they don't want people to dump all their money all at once, because if everybody pulls out now, it would really make the Fed look ridiculous. So,
yeah. And a lot of the people who are telling you that you shouldn't sell are selling themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, the billionaires are in Las Vegas betting on poker players rather than keeping their money in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, has this been sufficient for you?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay. Well, I hope maybe you can listen to the archives once I place that on the website.
That sounds great. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
So, John, the Federal Reserve, in your March 7th article this year, you wrote an interesting article titled, "The Federal Reserve Has Become Irrelevant." Now that we're in November, do you feel the Federal Reserve actually is dead?
Yes, it's bankrupt. The Federal Reserve has been pumping out lots of money that it doesn't really have and taking in, you know, it's taking in all sorts of collateral. And the reason why it's irrelevant is that nothing it has done has actually helped the situation. That what it is doing is actually, by pumping in all this money, it's making things worse. And so therefore, you know, it is not an agent which is improving the situation. It's something which is making the situation even worse. And in that sense, in terms of representing any kind of a solution, it is completely irrelevant at this point.
Well, according to the Constitution, we should not have had a Federal Reserve in the first place. So that's, I'm happy to see that go, and I'm sure a lot of people who do understand how the system has to collapse do understand that it's inevitable, even if it's inconvenient for many of us.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. That the Federal Reserve does need to go, that we need to put it through bankruptcy proceedings, and we put the rest of the system through bankruptcy. We need to write off all this speculative debt, put an end to all of this nonsense, and turn our attention to rebuilding the real economy, because that's what keeps people alive. And it's the absence of doing that which is going to kill an awful lot of people.
Now, the credit system called the Visa, MasterCard systems, you talk about the big banks that own these credit card processing businesses, which is, you know, I have a business based on that. They are selling out. Are they going to go next once the Fed goes?
I think it's all going to go.
All at the same, kind of like a Titanic, just sort of.
Yeah, and like the Titanic, our economy hit the iceberg over a year ago when the Bear Stearns hedge funds blew up and Merrill Lynch and others seized collateral from on them and tried to sell it and realized that they could only get, you know, as little as 22 cents on the dollar for it. And that was basically the end of the securities market, because these things suddenly, Merrill Lynch and others had to stop trying to sell these assets, because if they sell them for 22 cents on the dollar, then that establishes a market price, which means that everybody who holds similar assets has to write them down to 22 cents on the dollar. And if they do that, you have banks blowing up right and left.
Even the smaller banks will eventually start blowing up?
Well, the smaller banks are going to be, the most smaller banks are in a lot better shape, although many of them have made a lot of commercial real estate loans to support projects in their area, and they're getting hit with the real estate crisis.
What about credit unions? A lot of people prefer those over banks.
Yeah, I think they're safer, but, you know, what we have is a collapse of the system itself.
Right.
And so when the system itself collapses, then there's really no safe place in it. That at some point, we're going to have to reorganize it. And then things like credit unions and community banks, things that are involved in actual banking as opposed to being speculators, are going to come out in much better shape. But...
So it has to collapse before we can actually build something new in its place. There's no other way around it.
Either that, or we act proactively and we put it down. And we, you know, the government says this thing is bankrupt, and so we're going to put it through bankruptcy proceedings before
you
it gets any worse.
You mean through the Congress. You are proposing that with the LaRouche Group, is to propose a bankruptcy proceeding through the Congress from a political angle?
We have proposed such a thing. Now, the problem is, you know, what's the Congress?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have all of these grand ideas that upon which our country was founded, that the government should take responsibility for this, and that, these are the rights of the people, the responsibilities of the government, that sort of thing. But it all breaks down if you don't have political representatives who can actually follow it through. You know, it's Benjamin Franklin famously said, you know, I gave you a republic if you can keep it. And we haven't really kept it.
Now, I highlighted one of your sentences here. It says, interestingly, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg and some of these other fascist bankers are trying to privatize the public infrastructure. Do you think they will have time to really run around and gather up everything they can to do this? I'm hoping they won't get their hands on anything.
They're in a race to get these things before there's a total collapse. And, you know, I don't have a crystal ball on when this thing can happen. I can tell you that, in my view, the conditions are very ripe for it to happen any time now. And it could be that, because they're not really, the bankers and the Fed and the Treasury are not really in control of this process. They're reacting to it. And they're sort of like
the
people who are patching the holes in the dike. That, more holes keep appearing, more cracks keep appearing, and they keep patching every one, and the whole structure keeps getting weaker and weaker and weaker, even as they patch all the holes that they see.
Yeah. So
but,
really, they can only control, they can only use power with the money system in place. Once the money system is, it's like a cog in the wheel is the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you pull the cog, the cart collapses, and they can't really do anything but run. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a tiger by the tail. They're not they're not calling the shots. And so, what they want to do, and the model for this is Britain. If you look at what's going on in Britain, you see what they plan to have happen in the United States, which is to charge people to use the public roads,
uh-huh.
to charge people market prices for all of the services that are provided. And, you know, if you look at the way in which the price of oil is manipulated, you have a good idea of what they want to do. This is what they were trying to do to electricity with deregulation. And, you know, this is what Enron was all about. And, you know, we all know what happened there, that it just blew up. And the end result of going with deregulation was that prices were spun out of control, and yet we still had blackouts and brownouts.
Yeah. Well, this is an antiquated system, and no matter how much they try, like I mentioned in many other shows, it's like an apple tree with rotten apples. They have to fall, and they're trying to artificially hold up rotten apples on the tree. It cannot be done. So, you know, I am just so honored and grateful that you were able to spend time with us. And again, to our listeners, if you would want to find out more about these wonderful, informative reviews, please visit www.larouchepac.com. That's LARouchePac. And you can find John Hofel frequently on those shows, and also his articles and blogs on the Executive Intelligence Review magazine. So I'm hoping that you can come back and visit us in 2 weeks again, John, to continue with our conversation.
And well, I'd be happy to.
Thank you so much. Our time is running out, and again, just reminding our listeners to visit this website for more information. Of course, there's so much more to learn about how you can navigate through this upcoming time. And so, friends, as I mentioned in earlier shows, after the dark of the night comes the dawn, and we're just a few minutes away from this bright dawn, since we are actually today on the last day of the fifth night. And as you know, I talked about the Mayan calendar, every fifth night of every age brought about a significant change so that the new age can take on the power. And the new age really is about the age of intuition. And the current age, the galactic age, is about the age of ethics. So these fraudulent banksters, that we call them, the more they try to impose their fraudulent schemes, the more it falls back on their faces. We can see that very clearly right now. So let us stay vigilant, tolerant, and loving with ourselves and others around us right now. This is not the sky falling on us. We are going to walk out of this mess just with the shirts on our backs, is what the way I see it. The night is over. Actually, tomorrow, November 13th, technically is the beginning of the sixth day of the Mayan calendar, and it is ruled by the goddess of birth, meaning we will go into a whole one-year period of rebirth and rebuilding. So according to the Mayan timekeeping, this is the dawn, and I really would like to encourage everyone to conduct vigilant prayers for peace, prosperity, and abundance tomorrow, and raise all our frequencies and not fall into fear. Do not get attached to this money system falling. It's kind of like the bars of a prison cell are falling away from us. We are freeing ourselves. So let us finish with this incredible show today with our closing gratitude intent. I'm grateful, and I know now that there is nothing that I could truly desire that is not at this very moment standing at the door of my consciousness, ready to appear in my life and affairs. I have only to be conscious of this truth, and every need is met, every problem solved, every question answered. My consciousness of the holy high self within is all I will ever need for all eternity. And so it is. And I thank John again for being gracious to join us today. Friends, our next show will air live on Wednesday, November 26th. And as I mentioned, John Hofel will join us again to continue talking about the economy. It's at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern time. And so hopefully we can find better solutions to this monetary system collapse. And if you watch my previous videos with the Zeitgeist movie and my interview with Jacques Fresco of the Venus Project, there's a lot of wonderful minds out there who are already preparing us to take the baton, move forward, and perhaps we can enter into a better society, a better system, a better social system based on resource-based economy or implementing the Hamiltonian credit system like John suggested. There's a lot of solutions out there. Please visit the LaRouche PAC website. That's another wonderful informative program where you can watch videos about this economic collapse. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Elizabeth checking out. Until we meet again next time, have a great Thanksgiving time, everyone. Blessed be all.